Good morning, everyone. Are you awake? You lost an hour of sleep, but you're okay? You're caffeinated? You can have a nap this afternoon? Thanks for being here today into March break weekend. It's great to see you all. I just want to let you know about one event that we hosted this past weekend before we jump into the message this last week. We hosted a youth pastor gathering. We partnered with a ministry called CCL and Canadian Church Leaders Network, and they really have a heart for next-gen pastors. So I just want to let you know we had 120 youth pastors and youth leaders here at the church this past week. And let me just tell you, so this represented 47 cities, 75 churches, 17 denominations, and over 7,200 students are ministered to by these youth pastors and youth leaders. So one of our core values is the Big C Church is our family. And every time we have an opportunity to partner with other organizations that are doing great things for the church, we take that. And so we actually had a few of our team come in and volunteer this week to serve and to pray and do different things. So just wanted to let you know about that. Think about that. 7,200 students are going to be blessed by the investment of their ministry. And this is when we as a church get into discipleship multiplication by being a blessing to these other churches. So thank you again for your continued generosity so that we can continue to host events like this. All right, we are in part four of our series called True Image, and this series is all about identity. And as we continue to talk about what God says about our identity, we're juxtaposing that to the culture of the world and what the world would say about how we should think about identity. What does God say? Before we got to this moment in culture that identity is kind of a confusing thing and a way to think about identity is being imposed upon us, that God actually has something to say for us to, oh, this is what God says about identity. This is what God says about who I am in Christ. I don't have to fall for some other way of thinking, but God has a lot to say related to identity. So identity really is who you are. It's your memories, experiences, relationships, values. It's the characteristics that determine who a person is. And really, our identity is important because it's the foundation of our life. It's the place from which we live and make choices and decisions based on who we think we are. And we want to have our identity found in Christ, not just in what the world would say as it relates to identity. So we need to be intentionally forming our identity in Christ. All of us have some sort of background, some things from our background, some choices that we made, some things that have happened to us. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to take all of those negative things, all of those negative choices that we've made, all of the stuff that has happened to us, and have that just be our identity. That we would go to the Word of God and say, God, what do you say about who I am? And what are you wanting me to capture as it relates to your heart? Now, the word image just means likeness, resemblance of heavenly things, a holy and blessed state of mind. So we need to have a very specific state of mind as it relates to thinking about our identity. Again, there is a philosophy, there is a way of thinking about identity that's being given to us and shown to us and taught to us, and news and movies and screen, all of the screens that we look at, there's a certain way of thinking as it relates to identity. Just, again, a philosophy, a branch of thinking. Now, Christianity is not a philosophy. It is actually a state of grace. It's a state of reality in Christ, following Jesus because of who he is and what he accomplished for us on the cross. Now, there are ways of thinking that come from that. Because this is true, we should adopt certain ways of thinking, and then therefore we should reject certain ways of thinking. So what we want to do is discover, oh, this is God's ways of thinking related to identity. And if the world is telling me to adopt a different way of thinking, I'm going to reject that. I'm just going to stay with what the Word of God says and how he wants me to think about identity. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Colossian church, talked about this idea. In verse 6 of Colossians 2, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So our roots, our foundation is in Christ. And this is to what Paul says. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. ways of thinking, branches of thought can captivate our mind. And we just think, oh, this is the way we should think. This is the way we're told to think. This is the way somebody's talking about identity. And so these things, as it relates to identity, as the world describes, can just captivate us. And we could just think, well, there's no other way to think about identity as what's being taught to us or told to us. But here, Paul is saying, hey, these things can captivate our mind. Listen to what they are. Empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, the spirit of the age, the spirit of the moment. There's a lot in this moment that there wasn't 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and 50, 60, 70 years from now, there's gonna be other things. But in this moment, in this cultural moment that we're living in, there is human traditions. There is the spirit of the age as it relates to identity. And then it says this at the end, and not according to Christ, and not according to our place in God. And again, this speaks volumes to us as it relates to followers of Christ. Who does God say that I am? We sang about it today. I am who you say that I am. Not what somebody else says, not what the culture says, not just what my feelings say, not what's being imposed upon me. I am who you say that I am. And this way of thinking, as it relates to our identity, is healthy. It's important. It's necessary for our lives. So the question for us is, will we just take on the counterfeit identity, or will we receive our identity in Christ? God, who is it that I am in Christ? Now, a little bit what we want to talk about today is as it relates to our feelings or our past defining us. Because this really is a struggle for everybody in the room, that all of us have a past of some description. So we're all going to struggle through it. There's going to be things that have happened to us, some difficult things that have happened to us, some things that we didn't want to happen. And even if we had good, godly parents, nobody in this room has been raised by perfect parents. There is a struggle of humanity, so we're going to have some struggles from our family of origin. Again, some of these are going to be on a scale of severity. Some of the things that you've experienced in life could be totally severe and difficult, way more difficult than maybe some of the things that I experienced, being blessed with the parents that I have. But my parents were not perfect. They were human beings just like everybody else's parents were human beings. So all of us have things and feelings as it relates to our past. And what we don't want to do is to take the amalgam of all of those things, all of those negative experiences, like, well, this is how I feel today, and then this, therefore, is who I am. No, we shouldn't just be taking all of that. We should be saying, God, who do you say that I am? Are you aware of what's happened to you? Are you aware of the stupid choices that you made? Do you know the stupid choices that you made? I know it's 10:53 on an hour, when you lost an hour of sleep, but do you know the stupid choices that you made? Yes. Sure you do. All of that affects your identity, but you are not those stupid choices. You are not those things that have happened to you. God has something else to say about your identity, not just how I'm feeling in this moment based on all of these things. And so this is where the phrase, be your true self, is something that we should reject. Express yourself, be your authentic self. Who you feel you are is who you are. No, your feelings might have been damaged. Has anyone ever been betrayed or heartbroken? And if you have been betrayed or heartbroken or have had your heart hurt, you don't want to live from that place. You don't want to identify as that. God has something to say about those feelings and the past that we've had, the difficulties of our lives. See, we can't just pretend that we were brought up or our identity was forged in a vacuum. It wasn't. There were influences on us growing up, living lives, stuff that's happened to us, some hard stuff. And some of that stuff, we continue to perpetuate it. Some of the stuff we've gone through in our past, we don't We should want to not perpetuate it. We should want to identify what it is and not live it out and live out an in Christ reality instead. Can I get an amen? And this is why our identity in Christ is so important. So what we want to talk about in this series and what we are talking about is what is the biblical third option? My past and my experiences, my feelings, what culture's saying, and all these thoughts about my identity. God, what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And I want to embrace that. I want to embrace your redemptive power in my life. I don't want to get stuck in my past feelings. So important. So we talked about in this series that we are made in the image of God, that we are remade in the image of Christ, that we are children of light, children of God. And then last week we talked about we're chosen, royal, and holy. So if you missed any of those messages, they are on our website. So today we're gonna talk about a couple guys in the scripture that struggled with our identity, that they had a difficult past, that they made mistakes. Can you identify? That they had past sins. Can you identify? They had rough experiences. Can you identify? All of this is true in these guys that we're gonna read about. So we're gonna talk today about Jacob and Paul. And so these guys had a difficult past. They had difficult things in their family of origin. They had difficult experiences. But they got to the place in their lives where they were actually known by different names. So Jacob became Israel, and the Apostle Paul was formerly Saul of Tarsus. So there was such a transformation in their lives that God changed completely how they were known. And this would be true for us. As it relates to finding ourselves in Christ, that we don't and we shouldn't want to live from the place of the negative effects on my life. It's like, oh, I have a new life in Christ. I'm not stuck in my past. I want to move forward. So we want to have this brand new identity. So Jacob and Paul, a couple of things that they had an unsavory past. Anybody in the room have an unsavory past? But they found redemption in God. They didn't get stuck there. So Jacob, he was the grandson of Abraham. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob was a twin. He had a twin brother named Esau. And from birth and pre-birth, these two brothers were struggling. Struggling with who they are, struggling with their identity, and this played out in the rest of their lives. Now, the word, the name Jacob, actually means heel grabber. It means he cheats or deceives or supplants. Like, he had a struggle right from what they named him, right? I mean, you know, some cultures, which is wonderful, people check as to what the name of their child means, what it means. Well, you know, my first name, Brent, means raven. I'm not sure my parents checked it out. Coulter is the wheel on the end of a plow. So we've got farmers and our ancestry just like everybody else. So nothing exciting about my name. But Jacob's name, man, is just like, and really the term heel is just the name for a bad guy still. That Jacob was a heel grabber. He was always tripping up other people. Let's read about his origin story here in Genesis 25. It says this in verse 22. The children struggled together within her. So they were like fighting in the womb. And she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one will be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. So God is just revealing to her, showing her what's going on and a little bit about the future. Verse 24, when her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red. All his body was like a hairy cloak, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Heel grabber, supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Verse 27, when the boys grew up, so there's nothing exciting about their childhood, skipped right to when they were a little bit older, and we can see some stuff here about the boys. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. So here is the story of every family, that there's two different brothers, and they're completely different. Really different gifts and talents, do different things. We see this in so many different families that kids are not the same growing up in the same family with the same parents, that God has gifted them differently, created them to be something. Verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of the game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So here is problem number one in this family. They have favorite children. Now, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago in the Joseph story. Do you remember Jacob, who is this guy? His favorite son was Joseph. Now, do you see he was repeating bad behavior that he had learned from his parents? It's not good to have favorite children. There's a loaded amen right there. And this is one of the things that we can do. We all know this. We can perpetuate the mistakes of our parents. But my wife says it like this, and it's such a great phrase. Everybody needs to be a circuit breaker of some kind. Break the mistakes of your parents' past. Don't keep perpetuating. Be aware of what these mistakes are. Don't continue to live them out and celebrate them and just say, well, I guess this is just who we are. Change it in Christ. This is bad parenting. Amen. Don't keep doing the same bad things, right? Parents, have you experienced this? When your children get a little bit older, to reflect back to you your dysfunction, and then you're mad at your child for being like you? Why are you like this? Oh, they're like me. Oh, this is a problem. We need to be aware of what's happened to us, that we don't keep living out these negative things, that we find our identity in Christ and allow that identity to shape us, not the mistakes of our past. So this is what's happening in this family. It kept on going for generations. These one parent loved one and one parent loved the other. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat of some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Verse 31, Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Jacob wanted to be his brother. He wanted to be the older brother. And what is the significance of the birthright? The birthright consists of material blessings that the father would pass on to sons. And the oldest brother would get a double portion. And then they also get a more responsibility given by the father. Jacob wanted to be Esau. He didn't want to be who God had made him to be. Now, when I'm saying that, I'm not talking about desires gone wild. Well, this is who God has made me to be. Not talking about lustful desires. Are you here with me today? I'm talking about who God actually made you to be, not just what I feel based on a distorted upbringing or distorted cultural things spoken into me. Well, this is just who I am. No, who God has made you to be. Not something by distortion or not something by sin. You can't have an identity defined by sin and say, God made me this way. You just can't. Esau didn't want to be who God had made him to be. I just want to be Esau. I want to be the older brother. I want to have these blessings and I want to have this responsibility. And this is so easy to do today. Social media, we can get, I just want so-and-so's life. It would just be so much easier. I don't want to be myself. I don't want to be lowly old me. And we live in this crazy state of comparison. Jacob said, verse 33, swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. Neither of them cared about who God had made them to be. And there was some distortion, obviously, in their upbringing. But he said, I didn't care about the responsibility, the double portion that was coming his way because he was the oldest son. His thinking was incorrect. Esau wanted to be Jacob. Jacob wanted to be Esau. Esau's like, I don't care who I am. I'll give it to you, Jacob. I'll sell it to you. It's not a big deal. It was a big deal. Especially in this time, this birthright was a really big deal. And Esau just didn't care about who God had made him to be. And again, that attitude can be just a philosophy of the world. That who I am is just my feelings. It's this, it's that, it's the other. No, God has some intention for you. God has purpose for your life. So both brothers rejected who they were. So Jacob continued to have difficulties in his life, and he was just a deceiver everywhere he went. And at the end of Isaac's life, Isaac was blind, and him and Rebekah came up with this whole plan to deceive Isaac so that they would give the blessing of the older brother to Jacob. And it was just this whole crazy plan. And so this was who he was from the beginning. He was a heel grabber. He was a deceiver. He deceived his brother, and then he deceived his father in conjunction with his mother. Just not a good family of origin. Just not a good place. But God didn't leave him there. And God doesn't leave us in our stuff, in our dysfunction, or he doesn't want to. If we continue to choose the identity that God gives us, not what's happened to us and not the stupid things that we've done, but continue to ask the question, God, who am I in you? So Jacob had this famous experience where he was wrestling with an angel. Read about it here. Genesis 32, 24. And it says, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? Who are you? It's a really important question. In other words, there needs to be some intentionality about who we are as it relates to our relationship with God, having God inform me about who I am. And he said, Jacob, what is Jacob? Deceiver, heel grabber, supplanter. Verse 28, then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. So God, in reality, is changing his name from what? Heel grabber to striven with God, wrestled with God. So God is now attaching his name to Jacob. So his identity is no longer this, but it includes the name of God. And this is true for us now in the new covenant. We are in Christ. This should be our brand new identity, not my old self, not the things that happened to me that I didn't want to happen to me, not the distortion that took place in my life. But my brand new name is Brent Coulter in Christ, in him. And this is true for all of us, followers of Jesus. He has a brand new identity for us to embrace. This is so important. So his new name included the name of God. His new identity included the name of God. We see it again here in Genesis 35, verse 9. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your new name. So he called his name Israel. Let's take a look at the Apostle Paul real quick before we finish today. That Paul, who was Paul? He was known as Saul of Tarsus. And who was Paul? Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was party to the killing of Stephen. before he had his miraculous salvation and transformation in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 8, included him, hey, I'm going to hold your coats as you guys kill Stephen. A murderer, a persecutor of the church. How many know that's a past? Can anybody identify with Paul? He's got a past. There's some things going on in his past. Can affect your identity. Can affect how you think about yourself. What does Paul say as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 12? I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. What does it mean to receive mercy? Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. And what I know about everybody in this room and everybody on the planet is that we all deserve to live separated from God for eternity because of our actions, because of our past. But what is Paul identifying with instead of all of the mistakes he made? I threw myself on the mercy of God. Identify with God's mercy, not all of the stupid mistakes that I made. Because that can consume us when we've made mistakes and becomes our identity and it consumes my thinking. Paul's like, no, I threw myself on the mercy of God. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. How many of you need an overflow of God's grace? Man, that's true of all of us. For me, with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. So Paul had a real understanding of who he was. Like, I am the worst of all of you, is what he's saying. But I threw myself on the grace and mercy of God. I'm identifying myself with Christ. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience. Paul was realizing how patient God was with him. Do you know how patient God was with you? God was patient with you while you continued to do your own thing, while you rejected him, while you didn't listen to what he said. God was patient with you. He gave you grace. He gave you mercy. He gave me grace. He gave me mercy. Thank God. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. This is who God is. And this is what he wants us to identify with as it relates to our past. We have to move past our past. Are you here today? We have to move past our past. It shouldn't define us. All of the things that happen to me that make me feel full of guilt and full of shame, all of the stupid things that I did, plus all of the other things that happened to me that I didn't choose that have an effect on my feelings. I can't live in that place. I have to live in the mercy of God. I have to identify with who God says that I am. Paul understands this idea. He had a lot to feel guilty about because now he's preaching to the church and he's feeling guilty, or he should feel guilty because he was a persecutor of the church. But what does he say here in Romans chapter 8? There is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're sitting here today and you're a follower of Jesus, but you're still feeling condemned for your stupid mistakes, there is no condemnation. God is not condemning you. God has given you his mercy and his grace. He wants you to identify with his mercy and grace so that you can move forward in life and not be anchored to the stupid things that you've done, that we would just live in guilt and shame and guilt and shame and, oh, look what the stuff I did. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And this is my brand new identity. This is who I am. I'm not the mistakes of my past. See, Jacob had all of these terrible things from his family of origin, bad upbringing, bad choices. Here, Paul made a bunch of stupid decisions. No condemnation for those in Christ. And again, a little bit what we're talking about in this series is just how I feel on the inside. We read this and we're like, oh, that's right, I shouldn't feel condemned. But I just don't feel worthy. See, because we're looking at the wrong thing. We are new creatures in Christ. We're not new creatures in our past. See, I feel this and my heart feels this. My heart is feeling this way. Listen to this verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. And he still offers us grace and mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Now, that doesn't mean that we should live sinful lives because the grace and mercy is available tomorrow. Let's be wise. Let's live wise. But if we're feeling the guilt and shame of our past, if I'm feeling it, God is greater than your heart. God is greater than those feelings. He overcomes those feelings with his mercy and his grace. His mercy and his grace. And Paul's like, I'm on display of the patience of God. And we can all say that today. He gives us his grace and his mercy. A couple more verses here and we're done. Or I should say one more verse. And whoever is playing keys can come now. Can we see ourselves in Jacob and Paul? Some varying degree of a messed up family of origin can have a great effect on you. And it's good to be aware of it. It's good to see it. It's good not to perpetuate it. Paul, who had made a bunch of mistakes, a bunch of stupid choices. Jacob found his new name, his new identity in God. God was redeeming him, buying him back. Here, the Apostle Paul at the beginning of the book of Romans, as he starts out writing to the church at Rome, he's going to talk about himself. He's going to identify himself. He's going to tell the people, as they're going to read this letter, who he is. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And there's something we can learn here about our identity in Christ. Paul was the worst of the worst. This letter that he's about to write is to build up the church. Formerly, he was persecuting the church, killing people who were a part of the church. Did he stay there? Didn't stay there. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Set apart, holy for the purposes of God. And this is true for everybody in the room today. If you've made the stupidest of stupid mistakes, God has a holy future for you, set apart for his purposes. It's not too late. It's not over. The mistakes you made are not more powerful than the blood of Jesus. That we would continue to throw ourselves on the mercy and grace of God. Amen. Let's just pray today. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. God, we receive our new name in you, that you have redefined who we are in Christ. And so, Lord, today we choose the identity that you give us. And we are so thankful for your grace and mercy. We're so thankful that all of the mistakes that have happened to us in our past don't define us. And all the stupid things that we have done don't define us. That we are now in Christ. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, before we go today, if you are here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, you have never said yes to Jesus. Everybody needs a starting place with God where you make Jesus your Lord. In a second here, I'm gonna pray a prayer. And if you have never said yes to Jesus before, I invite you to pray along with me. Everybody needs a starting place where you just say yes. Jesus has called us all to be disciples, but we need to start somewhere. So if you are here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the gospel, the good news is all about Jesus, that he came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, God makes a way for us to have a relationship with him. And all we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is receive this gift. So if you're here today and you're in that study, I invite you to pray along with me. Maybe you're in the second category where you used to be close to God and you kind of feel distant from him today. Maybe something happened and you kind of like, I just don't know. You know, God is not mad at you today. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me. So church, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time or somebody who's rededicating their life to Christ. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways. And I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Can we celebrate with everyone who made that decision today? Come on, give them a round of applause. It is truly the best decision that you will ever make to follow Jesus. Amen. Who can testify to that? God is so good. If that was you today, if you decided to follow Jesus, whether it be for the first time or maybe you're rededicating your life this morning, I just really want to encourage you. You can grab the Connect card that is in the seat pocket right in front of you. Mark off the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And just bring that card over to our info team. And we would love to just put some free resource in your hand to get you started on your new journey of faith. So make sure you do that. As well as if you are newer and you want to get plugged into the heart of city, into our church, you can bring that same Connect card, mark off the box that says I'm new, and bring it to our info team. Just one quick announcement for you. Water baptisms are happening next weekend. Who's excited? And I want to let you know, it's not too late to sign up for water baptisms. If you've never been baptized, we really just want to encourage you. Maybe it's time to take that next step in your faith journey. And what water baptism is, it's just that outward expression, that declaration, that public declaration of that inward decision you made when you decided to follow Jesus. So if you're interested in knowing more information, today is the last day for signups. You can come talk to our team in the lobby and register there. Would you stand to your feet with me? We've come to the end of our service. Just love to invite the prayer team if you could come on down to the front here. And if you were hoping to somebody to pray with you or for you this morning, you can just make your way here to the front of the stage area after service, and we have a team of our prayer warriors who would just love to pray with you for whatever you're believing for. Church, we love you. We hope you have the best week up ahead, and we will see you next week at 10:15. Be blessed. Thanks for coming.